Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnu Sahasranam, 821, Sarvagya, which means all-knowing, omniscient. This name occurred earlier in the 48th verse, name 454. Do you all know that it appeared earlier? No, that means you are not Sarvagya. It's very important to understand what is the meaning of God, either in Abrahamic traditions or the Dharmic traditions. The scholars of religion, they make this division of world religions, Abraham, of the world's major religions, Dharmic or Abrahamic. So in all of these traditions, the nature of God is accepted. First and foremost, Sarva-Shaktiman, all-powerful, omnipotent. Sarvagya, all-knowing, omniscient. Sarva-Vyapi, omnipresent, all-pervading. So these are the qualities which make him Sarvottam, supreme, and Advitiya, one of a kind, inimitable. Supreme means that there's only one like him. Sri Madhvacharya brings out this point in his commentary on the Brahma Sutra 128. Sambhoga praptiriti chena vaisheshyat. He quotes from Garuda Purana to show that Vishnu is Sarvagya, he's all-knowing. The verse, Sarvagya Alpagyata Bhedat, the difference between the all-knowing, the Supreme Lord, and the Jiva, because of course Madhvacharya is very strong on this point in emphasizing difference, especially the difference between Hari, Vishnu, and everything else, especially the jivas. And especially he makes this point in his Brahma Sutra commentaries in opposition to refutation of the Kevaladvaitavad of Shankaracharya. So Vishnu is Sarvagya, he's all-knowing, whereas the jiva is Alpagya, he knows very little. Sarva-Shaktihi, the Supreme Lord is replete with all potencies, whereas the jiva, Alpa-Shaktihi, very little power. Svatantraha, he is independent. And the jiva is paratantra, dependent. So in this way it's understood that there cannot be sameness at any place or at any time between the jiva and Hari. Very important to understand, because we're in this world due to the demoniac conception, Ishvaroham Aham Bhogi, Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi. I am in control. I'm the boss around here. I'm the enjoyer. Ishvaroham Aham Bhogi. I'm perfect, I'm powerful, I'm happy. Well, everyone can say that to some extent. I am the controller of my pet dog. Doesn't make you God. Maybe in the eyes of the dog, you're God, because the dog doesn't have any philosophical sense, nor does the man. And that's why he's thinking he's the boss of his dog. Ishvaroham Aham Bhogi, I am the enjoyer. Why do people like to keep dogs? Because they enjoy being licked by their dog and giving or having the dog eat from the same plate while they're eating. And all other wonderful things that make dogs so enjoyable. But actually, dogs mostly have a sense of looking up to the human as the master, and people really love that. That I'm my affectionate servant. I'm perfect. I know what I'm doing. You don't have to tell me what to do. I'm powerful. I'm happy. Anyone who says this is a demon, according to Krishna Bhagavad Gita. There is, of course, one exception, Krishna himself. He is actually the Supreme Lord. So he is all-knowing. He is supremely blissful. All are under his control. Sarvagyatvang parananda sarvasya tad adhinata ityadayo guna Vishnu naivanyasya katanchana. This Madhvacharya makes this commentary that he's all-knowing, he's all full bliss, everything and everyone is under his control, and in this way there are so many qualities of Vishnu, which are in him only and not in others. Shankaracharya gives the same meaning of this name as all-knowing in his previous commentary on the name Sarvagya. That he who is all and who knows all. And in this occurrence of the name, he says, he who knows all, which is pretty much the same, but Shankara, what are you doing? Okay, show me what, I got it, okay. He splits up the Sanskrit, or he analyzes the Sanskrit in such a way that in the first instance, the word sarva acts as a noun or a pronoun. It can be a noun. It can be a noun. So, and in the second case, sarva gya, and in the second case, sarvam gya, and in Sandhi, when they're joined together, it comes out the same. There's a slight difference. One, the knower of everything, or the one who has all knowledge. It comes out to be the same thing, but it's analyzed differently. Sri Radha Krishna Shastri quotes from Shruti, where the Supreme Brahman is referred to as Sarvagya, from Mundaka Upanishad, ya Sarvagya Sarvavit. Sarvavit is, of course, a synonym of Sarvagya, from Prashna Upanishad, sa Sarvagya Sarvo Bhavati, from Mandukya Upanishad, esha Sarveshvara, esha Sarvagya. And there are many references to Sarvavit within the Shruti, which means the original Vedas. Especially these terms will come up in the Upanishads. Madhvacharya also, what a scholar. He used to go around with travel around with a cart full of books. Not that he needed to refer to them, but just to show other people, because he knew them all himself. So he just pulls out quotes from here, there, everywhere. And most of his commentaries, they're just quotes from Shastra without anything else. And the quote just defines everything. So in his Vishnu Tattva Vinirnaya, he states, quoting from Naradiya Purana, Sarvagyam Sarvakataram Narayanam Anamayam Sarvotamam Gyapayanti Mahatat Mahaparya bhi Mahapatarium eva hi. All the Vedas, all the Shastras, all the Vedas, Itihasas, Puranas, all other sources of knowledge, they all declare that Narayana is omniscient, sarvagya, sarvakataram, the doer of everything, anamayam, freed from all inebrieties, Srila Prabhupada used, the contaminations. He's supreme above all. The all-knowing aspect of the Supreme Lord is described in his Vishnu Sahasranam commentary by Krishna Datta Bharadvaj. Shri Bhagavan hi sarvam sarvatra sarvada sarvata cha janati. So here we have sarvam, everything. He knows everything. Sarvatra, in all places. Sarvada, at all times. Sarvata, in all ways. And then, in all ways, through all means. And then, bhuta bhavad bhavishyadinam jnanam. In the past, present, and future, adinam. And if you think there might be some other phase of time, then he knows that too. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna. Bhavishyani chabhutani mantu veda nakaschana. He knows everything. Krishna says, I know everything past, present, and future. But me, no one knows. And then, of course, later in Gita, he says, bhakta mam abhijanati. I can be known through bhakti. But he cannot be known murho. The murhas cannot understand him. Because they're murhas. They don't accept his avyayam anuttamam. He is avyaya tattva. He is himself as he is. I am who I am, as it said in the Bible. He is who he is, that's the way he is, and you can't protest. Or if you protest, then you're a murha, and then you can't understand him. So, he knows everything. He's inside everyone, and inside everything. This is discussed in the 13th chapter of Gita. He's inside everything and he's outside everything also. Everything's inside him. So in all respects, we have sarvata in this. We just quoted sarvata. In all ways, he knows everything. He knows, if we want to say in English, someone knows some subject, he knows about that inside out. He knows everything in all respects. Whatever's happening in the spiritual world, whatever's happening in the material world, covers everything that there is known and everything that there is to be known. Sarvata parnipadam tat sarvatokshi shiromukham sarvata shrutimalloke sarvam avritya tishtati. He has everywhere are his hands and his legs, his heads, his eyes, his faces, his ears, he covers everything. He's got his sensors everywhere and his cameras, spy cameras everywhere. People are concerned, the spy cameras, they're watching me all the time. And if we're going to have speed cameras on the road, they should warn us in advance. Do they have that here? In Britain, there was so much protest when they put speed cameras. But they said, you have to put a sign to let us know. So eventually the government had to put a sign. Speed cameras ahead. Otherwise people just break the law by going too fast and they get a fine. But then you put a sign to let you. They don't like they're being watched all the time. But they're already being watched all the time. Everything they do. Right? Can't get away with it. We might be able to get away with it in terms of the law of the land, but the law of God, there's no escaping. He knows everything. He is complete. Now, knowledge, when we say knowledge, we don't just like how many windows are there in the Empire State Building? Huh? How many drops are there in a mirage? How many windows are in the Empire State Building? You can go and throw a boulder through one of them and then there'll be one less, right? Or does it still count as a window? And that's a philosopher's question. What is the age of consent in Georgia? 16 or 18? Okay, how is it settled? Who decides? I guess the Georgia State Assembly or whatever, it's decided. Okay, so it's not right to do that before that age, right? So what if you are 15 years, 11 months, 30 days and 31 days in the month and you're 2 minutes away from that. Now and all of a sudden you become old enough to decide for yourself. Or you can vote at the age of 18. Just like in India, you can vote at the age of 18, but you can't marry till the age of 21 if you're a male. You don't know that? Right? You're old enough to vote, but you're not old enough to marry. So what is that faculty by which we can, we're talking about discrimination here, that you have the discrimination to understand that this politician is the one I should vote for, or now I'm old enough to indulge my genitals legally. What is that? It's supposed to be, discrimination is supposed to be based on knowledge, right? You know what's right and what's wrong. You know the consequences. You can't drink underage. So many things. You can't drink underage because you know the consequences and now you're responsible. But most people don't become responsible in the matter of drinking ever. They may not all become alcoholics, but getting drunk and then drinking and driving, accidents and crime committed under the influence, you're supposed to know better. The idea is that you're supposed to know better. So knowledge is required for a human being. We all know the verse, at least we know the translation, Ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha samanyam etat pashubhya naranam. What's the next word? Dharmo hitesham adhiko vishesham dharmena hina pashubhya naranam. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending are done by the animals and the humans. The special propensity or possibility for a human is to practice religion. So human minus religion equals animal. So another version, I was asking what's the next word. Another version of that is gyano hitesham, knowledge. Is the difference between a human and an animal. So knowledge, animals also have. They know where to find their food, for instance. Some of them have inbuilt knowledge. Practically every animal has some propensity or ability that humans don't have. How many of you could navigate your way from the North Pole to the South Pole? Even if you had the equipment to do it. But the Arctic terns do so. They fly from the North Pole to the South Pole. They can navigate their way. The salmon in the sea navigate their way back to their spawning grounds. So they know where to go. Humans, if you dump a human in the middle of the sea and ask him to swim, and you just, if you're in the middle of the sea and there's no land in sight, where would you know, even if you could swim that far, how would you know which direction to go in, where land is? So knowledge means awareness of that which is perceived by the senses And in especially among humans, that can mean amassment of knowledge, just like how many windows are there in the Empire State Building. You can amass knowledge, you can learn facts and figures about all different things, which is required in schools in India, right? General knowledge. They teach, you have to know so many things, and about the cricket players and what's on. And they ask you in the morning, what was on the TV last night? And you have to know what was on the TV program the night before. That's knowledge. But when the word jnana is used in Shastra, it specifically means knowledge of the difference between spirit and matter and all else that ensues from that, and the discrimination which goes along with that. Everyone in one sense is a jnani. Everyone knows something, but when the word is used in Shastra, jnani, it doesn't mean someone who knows how to tie up his shoelaces. You know, someone may know how to tie their shoelaces, but he doesn't know what he is, what is the purpose of his life, who is God. Bhagavatam describes knowledge, or actually I'm taking this from Srila Prabhupada's purport, Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 16th chapter, text 26 to 30. The qualities of the Supreme Personality of God, various qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are described in these five verses. In the purport to this, Srila Prabhupada writes, the 14th quality, knowledge, can be further extended into five subheadings, namely intelligence. It's not enough merely to know. One has to have intelligence to understand. Gratefulness. Knowledge. Everything is given by God, so we should be grateful to God. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful. The good Lord made them all. And he also made Adolf Hitler and stool and other things. Sadasat. That's in, he's made that which is good and that which is bad. Everything comes from him. Gratefulness. Power of understanding the circumstantial environments of place, object, and time. Understanding what's going on, actually what's going on in some situation. Number four, perfect knowledge of everything. And five, knowledge of the self. Only fools are ungrateful to their benefactors. The Lord, however, does not require benefit from anyone besides himself because he is full in himself. Still, he feels benefited by the unalloyed services of his devotees. The Lord feels grateful to his devotees for such unsophisticated, unconditional service and tries to reciprocate it by rendering service to them, although the devotees have no such desire in their hearts. Rendering transcendental service to the Lord is itself a transcendental benefit for the devotee, and therefore the devotee has nothing to expect from the Lord. On the assertion of the Vedic aphorism, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, we can understand that the Lord, by the omnipresent rays of his effulgence called Brahma Jyoti, is all-pervading inside and outside of everything, like the omnipresent material sky, and thus he is also omniscient. The non-devotee class cannot understand the dynamic nature of his knowledge because they are satisfied to reach up to his eternal form of knowledge. Let's read that again. The non-devotee class cannot understand the dynamic nature of his knowledge because they are satisfied to reach up to his eternal form of knowledge. So those who aspire for merging into the Brahma Jyoti, that the jnanis, they want to merge into the Brahma Jyoti, but they don't know the dynamic nature of his knowledge, his personality. All great souls aspire to be equal in knowledge with him. Yeah, the Someone who rises above the platform of simply eating and sleeping and going to football games and drinking beer and having sex, and they may be an intellectual in human society, and they're very interested to learn more and more and more. But as it said, a prime quality of someone who's actually learned is that he has some realization of how little he knows. Continuing Prabhupada's purport, this means that all other knowledge is ever insufficient, flexible, and measurable, whereas the knowledge of the Lord is ever fixed and unfathomable. All other knowledge, material, what goes in the material world is not insufficient. You can never know everything about everything. You can never know everything about anything. It's flexible. That means what is called knowledge today may change tomorrow. And it's measurable. That's the attempt to gain knowledge in this world is by defining everything, measuring anything. Mapiyate ti maya. The endeavor to measure everything is one of the definitions of maya. So we do find very learned and intelligent people in this world, and the great hero of the Western world in terms of being a genius is, of course, Albert Einstein. And we have Stephen Hawking. No, he's nowhere near Einstein. In status, he's nowhere near Einstein. Newton was a great genius of his time. So many strides forward in knowledge, set up modern science. The father of modern philosophy, Descartes. There's so many highly intelligent people, and even at the present time, well, you go to the university, no doubt you'll find some people who are very intelligent. There's some people whose intelligence level is just leaves ordinary models in the dust. But they're nowhere near Sarvagya. They're nowhere near Krishna. To give an example, I gave this example, I believe, in a previous Vishnu Sahasranam talk, and this time I looked it up. The world long jump record, I had guessed at that time is 20 meters. It's actually 8.95 meters, almost. Someone may have jumped further than that, but that would be wind-assisted, because they have to see the wind effect also. So it has to be a very minimal amount of wind to come in the records. 8.95 meters, that was done in 1991, and no one has jumped that far since. I can't jump that far, even when I was 16, 18 years old. I don't think I even jumped one third of that. So that's a real achievement, right? Probably a gazelle jumps further than that routinely. But anyway, it's a world record. He's way, way, way ahead of you and me. And everyone else in Georgia at the present time, probably. There might be some good long jump athletes here. It's really way, way ahead. But he can't jump 500 meters. That's ridiculous even to think of it. So in the same way, you can be a genius, but you can't come anywhere near the knowledge of the Supreme Lord. It's much, much greater than others, humans, but there are limits to how much we can know, however intelligent we may be. Just like there are limits to how far you can jump. And 9 meters seems to be, maybe someone could jump 10 meters in the long jump, but 20 meters, 500 meters is just ridiculous. You can't jump that far. Only in movies they have things like that. Silly things. You can do it with special effects, but actually you can't. So in the same way, you can know so many things and have insights into so many things, but our ability to know and to understand doesn't come anywhere near his, and never will do. So a basic point is that we cannot know everything, right? Basic point. Is that correct? Well, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Yo mam eva samudho janati purushottamam sa sarvavit bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. Who knows me without doubting, Krishna says, who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knows everything and therefore worships me in all respects. So there you are. Sarvavit, the word is there. Of course, it has to be understood contextually. That the devotee, by the grace of Krishna, he knows all that he needs to know. All that we need to know is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which automatically, by extension, means that we are not the Supreme Personality of God. Supreme means supreme, purushottam, the Supreme Person. So that we know all that we need to know. That's all that we need to know. But it doesn't mean that we become omniscient in the manner that the Supreme Lord is omniscient. Parashara Bhatta, in his previous explanation of this name, said that he knows everything because he's the Antaryami, the indwelling Supersoul in everything. Now, in this instance of the name, he says that Sarvagya means he knows particularly what his devotees need. He's aware of his devotees and he's aware of what they need. He knows what they can do, what they can't do, how they need to be benefited. He empowers them. If they have a strong desire, he knows that. He can empower them. He knows what's going on with us. He knows what's going on with everyone, but he takes special interest in his devotees. Devotees have entered into a contract with Krishna. Sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanang raja ahang ta sarvapa bebyo moksha yishami mashu jaha. Krishna says, okay, here are the conditions. You surrender to me, I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions. Okay, ready? All right, surrender. And then he takes charge. Then Krishna takes charge. So it's like a contract. But it's not a contract of I get something, you get something. It's a deal. I get your old car and you get my $1,000 or whatever it is. It's not like a deal that you get something, I get something. But it's simply Krishna's mercy, that's all. That he wants to help us. And he particularly wants to help his devotees. Understanding this, devotees accept everything that comes to them as Krishna's mercy. That whatever is happening to me, it's Krishna's will. He knows what's best for me. I don't understand why I got this debilitating disease. I don't understand. There's so many things we may not understand, but understand it's all Krishna's mercy on me, whatever it may be. In that way, we can be free from anxiety. Of course, we shouldn't do all nonsense and think it's all Krishna's mercy. We should use our... We drive the car far too fast and crash it, and we say, well, it's Krishna's mercy. No, it's nonsense. Krishna gives us intelligence about how to live in this world so as to serve him properly. And if we don't use that intelligence, then we can't say, well, it was Krishna's... I crashed the car and it was Krishna's mercy. No, you're a rascal. And don't blame it on Krishna. One commentator, V.V. Ramanujan, he calls to mind one of the pasarams of Tirumangayalva, that he's saying to him, Tirumangayalva is praying to Paramal, to Vishnu. You know very well that I want to see you, I want to be with you. Why are you delaying? Why don't you deliver? Why don't you show yourself to me? You know that your devotees cannot bear separation. So he's in his love. He's saying, you know very well I want you. And the devotees want you. Why don't you just show yourself to us? Now that's not the... This is not in... It's not the prayer of someone, not a prayer that someone who's not actually pining for the Lord in their heart can sincerely make. It's not that everyone, some neophyte devotee, can just start chastising the Lord. But a very high devotee can do so due to that strong bond of attachment. We find this in the prayer of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this prayer he sings, Gopinath, Amito Tomarajan. I'm yours, and why do you neglect me? There are so many, you can go through the whole verses. I just selected two of them here. Gopinath, tumito shokale jano. You, Gopinath, you know everything, sarvagya. Apanara jane dandya ekon shri charane dehoshtana. Now, your person, referring to himself, you punish me and do whatever is required, but take me to your lotus feet. Gopinath, eki bichara taba. Bimukha dekya charo nija jane narkaro karuna laba. Then he's, what are you thinking about? Gopinath, what are you thinking about? You see me turned away from you and you just let me go. Okay, go. You don't show me even a drop of mercy. He's so harsh. Baladev Vidyabhushan. He says similarly, sarvagya means one who knows the whole sarva situation of his devotees. And he quotes this verse. This verse is also quoted in his Gita commentary and quoted by Srila Prabhupada in his Gita commentary. It's just stated to be from the Smriti. Exactly from where, we don't know. At least I don't know, and the reference isn't given, just stated in the Smriti. Dharshana dhyana sangsparshaya matsya kurama vihangamaha svanyapatyani pushnanti tataham api padmaja. Brahma, he's the Supreme Lord speaking to Brahma, Padmaja, born from the lotus. The fish, the tortoise, and the bird respectively maintain their offspring by watching them. The fish is in the water with the baby fish. By meditating on them, the turtle lays the eggs on the beach and goes back in the sea. Then how did the eggs become hatched? Because the turtle in the sea is meditating on them. And by touching them, the bird sitting on the egg. So in the same way, this is quoted by Baladev Vidyabhushan, in the same way, Lord Vishnu says to Brahma, I maintain my devotees. By watching them, by thinking of them, and by touching them. Then again, Baladev Vidyabhushan quotes from Bhagavatam, Krishna speaking to Uddhava, Nirapeksham munim shantam nirvairam samadarshanam anuvrajyam yaham nityam puyetyangri renubihi. With the dust of my devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds which are situated within me. Thus I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees who are free from all personal desire, wrapped in thought of my pastimes, peaceful without any feelings of enmity and of equal disposition everywhere. So Krishna, he knows who are his pure devotees. If they're actually, if the devotees are actually free from personal desire, always thinking of his pastimes, peaceful, that means without any material desire, without any feelings of enmity, and of equal disposition to everyone everywhere. Krishna knows that. And to such a devotee, he thinks, regarding such a devotee, he says, I want to follow in the footsteps of such devotees, and with their lotus feet, I purify the material worlds. Hare Krishna. Any question? I thought I saw a watch there. Is someone it's there. You see, I don't know everything. Proved. Brahm Pramad Vipralipsa Karana Patav. I made a mistake thinking it's over there.
Guru Maharaj, you were explaining these prayers of Tirumangai Alvar, saying that he's chastising the Lord. It's not something that a neophyte can imitate. And then you were also explaining the song of Gopinath. Srila Prabhupada also did not recommend songs like Radha Krishna Prana Mora Jugal Kishore to be sung regularly. So I'm just thinking,
I don't know Prabhupada personally saying that the song Radha Krishna Prana Mora shouldn't be sung regularly, but his general tenor was to be quite cautious in these very high matters.
So, certain of the but at the same time, we are repeating the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like Gopinath, which normally, if some devotee was to say that, it may sound neophyte. So, which songs
some of the things
we
are very they're relevant. Much of it is relevant. Amitokamera Das, he sings. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in that song, "I'm a servant of lust." Well, that's very relevant to me, anyway. But also, we can sing these songs and meditate, even if we're not personally feeling like that. We can meditate on, just like Radha Krishna Pranamon Narottam, how he is directly feeling like that. It's a way of worshipping Narottam Das also by reciting that song.
Okay, so the question was, how do we know which songs we should repeat and sing more, and sing songs that we can probably sing occasionally?
And then we have to see, it's a question of adhikar, isn't it? Eligibility. Very suitable for us are the Bhajahuremana Srinandanandana Durlabha Manava Janma Lobhya Shamsari, the Dashavatar Stotram. These are all very suitable for us. And we can sing others that are describing. Narottam Das also has this, what do they call that? Vasanti Ras, Vrindavana, Ramyastan, then Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna. They're descriptive. Bhogarati song is there, yeah.
Guru Maharaj, in this verse that you just quoted about the devotees purifying the Krishna senses, you know, in this commentary, right here on this purport, Madhvacharya points out that Krishna follows the footsteps of his devotees in order to purify them. As the Lord walks along behind his pure devotees, the wind blows the dust of the Lord's feet in front of the devotees, who then become purified by the contact with such transcendental dust. One should not foolishly look for material logic in these transcendental pastimes of the Lord. It is simply a question of love between the Lord and his devotees.
Beautiful, huh?
Amazing.
Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante Nidhaya Trinakang Padayani Patya Kritva Chakakushatame Tadaham Ravimi He Sadhava Sakala Eva Vihaya Durad Goranga Chandra Charne Kurutanuraga Parivadatu Jano Yata Tata Vananamukaro Navayang Vicharama Hari Rasa Madira Madati Mata Bhuvi Vilutama Nartama Nirvishama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.